Excuse me. Would you take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 tonight?
Something's giving me some good old smoke inhalation around here, I think. Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 1 down through verse 14. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, just thanking you so much again for your word. Every time we meet together, we're able to look at it together and just allow you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to speak to us. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you're going to speak again tonight through your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, it's right. It's always going to lead us in the right path and the right way. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My line title, thanks for the water, by the way, Janet. Appreciate that. Okay. I'm sorry? Can you hear it okay now? Is that better? Okay. All right. Entitled tonight's message, G-rated or R-rated. And the reason is because I think there's a lot of times that we live a G-rated life when we should, but maybe our hearts and our minds are R-rated. And I'm not talking about horrible things in a movie or anything like that. I'm just talking about whether we live a godly life or if we live a reprobate life. A reprobate is a person who knows what the truth is, but they decide they don't want to do it. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. The very first thing Paul says is to imitate God. Verses 1 and 2. The imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, if you ever wondered what your love should look like, that's it right there. Paul says we ought to have the same kind of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us completely as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We are to imitate God. The first part of that is to be holy. That means to be set apart, to be useful for him. You see, he doesn't use things that are not holy. He doesn't use things that are not sanctified and set apart. He doesn't use people who are not willing to live a holy life. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45 say, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I'm holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves about on the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I'm holy." Now, he used that phrase at the beginning of this passage and at the end of this passage. Why should we be holy? Because he's holy. And if we are by his and we're bought by the by the price of His Son and we've chosen to follow Him, then we need to be holy as well. We are set apart for His work. Quite literally, that means He is in control and we're not. So that means we have to check in with Him to find out what He wants. We need to hear from Him. We need to listen to Him. We need to talk to Him. I mean, how weird would it be for you to take a new job in a new situation and you have a boss, but you never see him. He never talks to you. You never have any correspondence with him. So you don't even know if you're doing the right thing. There's no manual to follow. And so you sit at your desk going like, what am I supposed to do? That would be horrible, right? And yet we have a Father who loves us, who's done everything for us, who wants to talk to us. He's longing for us to come into His presence. He wants us to sit with Him and have a fellowship with Him and understand His Word and then go and do those things. That's the best case scenario. And yet, do we do that? We are set apart for His work. We are not our own, the Scripture says, but we've been purchased by the price, by His blood. And so, to be holy means it's recognizing and realizing that we are not ours anymore, we are His. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our mortal bodies. To be holy. And then the second part he says, and I mentioned this a while ago, is that we are to love just like He loves. We are to be loving people. We are never more like God than when we love. I mean, we're not more like God than when we go to church or when we read our Bible. And I'm not saying those aren't good things. But we're never more like God than when we love other people like He loves people. In fact, Jesus said we are to love our neighbor just like we love ourselves. Do you have neighbors that have a hard time loving? Scripture says we're supposed to love them like we love ourselves. In the same way, we are to love as He loved us. How did Jesus love us? 100%. In every way. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, no matter where we've been, He loved us completely. 100%. Paid for every sin that we've ever committed or ever will. He loved us absolutely, completely. So we're to be holy and to be loving. That's how we imitate God. Secondly, we need to say no to the ways of the world. The R-rated, the reprobate person, is a person who says they love God, but then they just go off and do whatever they want to. And he mentions this sexual immorality and all the ways of the world. In fact, the Greek word is porneia, which people get the word porn from. It's sexual sin. It's anything literally against God's word or God's will. And when you stop and think about it, there's so many things that's against what God has said. So many things. And you might think, oh, this is not a bad thing that I do. If it's not holy, then it's what? It's unholy. Right? You can't have both. And so he's saying we've got to change, we've got to be different. The G-rated is a godly person. A godly person is not a person who walks around thinking that they're better than anybody else. But a godly person, it knows that everything that they do has to be done according to what God's Word says. And God's Word says sex between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, is set apart for marriage. God blesses that kind of relationship. But the R-rated person thinks, it's not a big deal. But the Scripture calls them impure. Akatharisa, which is the Greek word, means unclean or filthy. As God looks upon those people, He sees the impurity in their heart, the impurity in their thoughts, the impurity in their eyes. Matthew 23, verse 27 says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like the whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Now, why would he say that? These are leaders of the religion of Judaism. Because that's exactly what they were. Leaders of a religion. Doing things that they think would make them look good. But God, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks where? He looks at the heart. That's what Scripture tells us. It literally refers to sexual corruption. G-rated, God-rated. Imitate God in His purity. God is absolutely pure. He will never do anything wrong, ever. Ever. His thoughts are pure. His ways are pure. Everything He does is pure. Now you might say, well, I can't be like that. The Scripture says, when we give our lives over to God, we can be like that. It's only by our own choice when we fall and we fail. God has made a way. The way we do that is to focus on His gift. What was His gift? He gave everything for us. It is the motivation of love that motivates people to do things. True love. Real love. Not lust. Not like. It's true love, unconditional love, that motivates people to do things far beyond what they would normally do. We are to imitate God in purity. And we need to focus on His gift for us. What was His gift? His own Son. He completely gave everything for us. Another R-rated reprobate, greed. He mentions that here. You see things that you want, and you'll do almost anything to get them. Plethysia. You've heard the word, a plethora of things. It comes from that word. It means so you see things and you just want them. Even though you already have everything you need. Have you ever seen something that somebody else has and you start to covet that? Wish you had that? I remember many years ago, Ann and I, our kids were small, and we were thinking about getting an RV so that we could go camping or whatever. And so we began looking in the paper and looking at, online. And well, I don't know if it was online or not, because I don't even know if you could do it online back then. But we started looking at different places and seeing and realizing that even then they were so expensive, we didn't think there was any way for us to get one. But I remember I just picked my kids up from swim practice, and we were driving back home and going down the road, and this big, beautiful diesel pusher RV, probably 33-footer or whatever, pulled up right beside us at the light. And I was looking at it, man, I was giving it the once-over and everything. And Catherine was about, I think she was about 5 or 6 years old. And out of the mouth of babes, she said, "Dad, are you coveting that?" I went, oh, man. My daughter, thank you so much. But it just reminds us that, the things of the world, they seem so attractive. We finally did get an RV, by the way. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a Class C and whatever, and it had its problems. It took us, I think, 20-something hours to get to Florida one time when we went to the Orlando Southern Baptist Convention. We broke down about 5 times. So, anyway, I digress. But it's so easy for us to get our eyes on the things of this world and think that somehow that's going to satisfy us. But what brings true satisfaction is your relationship with the Lord. You see, there's no better place to be than to be right with the Lord. No better place to be. You think about all kinds of places you'd like to be. On the beach in Hawaii, on a mountaintop, where all the things you think about, you'd like to be there. But the best place to be is in the presence of the Lord. Because it's there we'll find satisfaction. And it's there we'll be content in Him. Because there's nothing better than being in His presence. Then Paul begins to give a warning to the church at Ephesus in verses 5 through 7. He says, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Paul warns us. The warnings he gives and the warnings that we find in Scripture are there to prepare us. It's just like a tornado warning. You hear the siren before you see the tornado. It's there to warn us. You know, a siren that you hear somewhere behind you, you pull over, and then you realize the fire department needs to get by. It's there for a reason. These are warnings. Warnings tell us about things that are to come. Well, one thing that's going to come is God's wrath. God's wrath is going to come upon this world. I think it's already starting. It's going to come on those who are continually and characteristically disobedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says it like this. Can you bring that up, Paul? 2 Corinthians 13, 5. There it is. "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." A Christian is not sinless, but he does sin less. I like that, as Warren Wiersbe said. And then Paul mentions this to the church. He says, we have a new way to live. We have a way to walk in the light. We have a way to take on the nature of Jesus. We have a way to stand against the darkness. Those ways are there because of who we know. Not because of what we know, but because of who we know. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. I pray, Father, that we would realize that there's so much that you have for us that we miss when we don't listen to you, when we don't stay in you, when we don't abide in you. And we get so consumed with the things of this world, and we think they're so important, and they're not. The things of this world that are important are the people that you've created. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a heart for them, just like you have a heart for us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.